Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and digital asset update. Bitcoin is over 12K and ETH is at 436. As always, I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Monday, August 17th, 2020. Remember to check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily or online at thedefidaily.com. And thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi investment and digital asset management platform that does allocation monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right. First, let's talk about the numbers. Basically, everything was up across the board today. Like I mentioned, Bitcoin hit, when I checked earlier, 12,271. And Forbes did an article actually saying that there was some analysis that the fundamental trends are expected to add fuel to Bitcoin's technical uptrend.
Pat. Yeah. I mean, the only article... press media coverage that gets more news than the actual price of Bitcoin is the various technical analysis articles of the Bitcoin price over the years. I don't tend to put a lot of stock in the TA articles. They're looking at different mechanisms around trend following and different support indicators. You know, maybe these work in traditional markets. I don't think that they hold a lot of bearing in something like crypto, which is honestly, it's so tied to so many different underlying assets. If you look at like Bitcoin's price versus USD, sure, it's like Bitcoin sentiment versus USD. At the end of the day, I mean, it's fundamentally tied to every single currency in the entire world and how they all play together. I don't put a lot of stock in the technical analysis. All that being said, Bitcoin had a great run today. I think it has a lot more to do with, you know, businesses and enterprises taking it seriously. Like you look at the story from last week about the company that bought $250 million of Bitcoin. That kind of news will absolutely make moves in the market.
Yeah, great. All right, well, on to other news. Major crypto exchanges are considering whether to delist Ethereum Classic. Pat, explain what's going on.
Yeah, this is last week. Ethereum Classic had its like third or fourth major hack. It's such a small coin at this point that essentially you can go online and for, I don't know, I think it was like $500,000 or something, you can basically attack. You can rent the hash power to do a full reorg attack against it. So what people do is they move money over to Binance, they spend it, they buy new coins, whatever it is, they move it away, and then they do a reorg attack against, they go 51% reorg attack against Ethereum Classic, which essentially wipes out a ton of value across the board. People are losing money. You know, this is a huge risk because you as the exchange have to make one of two choices. You're either going to delist it altogether, which I think at this point makes a lot of sense for Ethereum Classic. It does not have a lot of legs underneath it. Or you're basically going to have to take the financial risk and or just put off how long your transaction times for these coins are going to have to go astronomical. I mean, you're going to have to wait like half a day for them to settle because otherwise they're just attackable. So they're going to make some hard decisions. But at the end of the day, like Ethereum Classic has been sort of on its last legs for a long time now.
All right. So you think they'll delist?
I think we'll see like vast majority of exchanges delist over the next few months.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. All right. Ethereum 2.0 testnet crashes. So what's that?
Yeah, this was kind of a big deal. There was the Ethereum testnet is going right now. Everyone is because in the DeFi world, we are all highly sensitive to fees. Fees are through the roof right now. The solution that the Ethereum developers are going after is Mandala, which is the Ethereum 2.0, which is essentially a sharded version of the Ethereum blockchain. Right now, they're on the Mandala test net. They had one of the clients, Prism, over the weekend had a really bad bug that essentially shut down and wiped all of the different clients who were running. Now, on the one hand, this is why you run testnets. I mean, testnets are there to be crashed. Like, that is exactly what you want to do. On the other hand, it was a really weird bug from my perspective. This was a bug that had to do with their clock synchronization across their clients. Almost no cryptocurrency protocols worry about clock sync. At the end of the day, you're doing a, you do a sanity check on when a block gets published, they do a sanity check on the timestamp that was attached to that block. But it really, like, these are highly decentralized systems that are distributed across the entire world with absolutely no guarantees on the time. The block height is what's important, not the time. So I thought it was really strange that by default, Prism came out with a client that actually had it turned on. And I think that turns out to be, a fair criticism because they are basically turning that feature off for the foreseeable future. So, you know, it's a little bump in the road for Ethereum 2.0, which we are all waiting for incredibly on bated breath. But this is exactly why you have test nets, and I think it's a good sign. I like to see things break.
Oh, all right. That's good. All right. Last, I saw an article on CoinDesk that Capital One filed a patent for an AI that interprets social media and other signals to find crypto picks, buy, sell. What do you think of this? Is it, you know, a good sign?
Yeah, I mean, since AI and Twitter were brought together, whatever, 5 years ago, the number of companies that have gone after this has been astronomical. You do tend to see high correlation. I mean, I think what's interesting about this is, you know, it's a dumb patent. You know, all these companies just get as many patents as they can, whatever. It's stupid. I think the interesting part about this is that there does tend to be high correlation between sentiment analysis and the Bitcoin price. Bitcoin price going up or down. Now, is that correlation, causation? That's sort of the real interesting question there. Like, you know, they look at this and say, hey, people are talking like nicely about Bitcoin on Twitter. We should buy it. Really, it tends to be the price goes up because of some sort of movement. And I tend to think that it tends to be bigger fish, institutions, whales moving money around. That, you know, that then triggers the price to go up, and then people comment it afterwards because they're happy the price went up. I don't think that these, you know, this, if this had proven out, we would have seen just an enormous number of hedge funds that would have invested in this. And we haven't really, you don't really see hedge funds using AI like this. There are a few, but it's not really a major point of revenue.
All right. Interesting. Okay. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the DeFi Daily. Have a good one.
Thank you.